Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. We have Josh Logan on the show right now. This story has a really great ending, but let's start from the beginning. His parents met in AA in the 1970s. He had his first beer when he was 13.
Ooh.
Hey, Josh, take us from that first beer at 13 on.
Yeah, like you said, my parents met in AA, and they had an idea that I was going to be a problem when I was a little kid. But I went to a very popular party high school town, and I was kind of like a stereotypical jock, and we'd just go out and drink beers and, go to parties in the woods or houses, and but nothing crazy. But then when I was 15 years old and I was a sophomore in high school, I had my first ever blackout. And and what happened was the cops came and a bunch of my friends got away, but I was obviously too drunk to run, barely walk. And so they had me sat down in the kitchen, and the cops said, they asked me what my first name was, and I said Steve. And then they asked me what my last name was, and I said Steve. And they said, your name's Steve? And I said, yep. But then I managed to give them the correct phone number to my parents' house at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Steve was Billy Idol's band, so it could happen.
Steve.
Right.
Steve.
And Steve's not even your first name.
It's not my middle or my last either.
Do you know a Steve, or was that your brother, or where'd you get Steve from?
Trying to trick them?
I don't have a clue. I have absolutely no idea where that came from.
It's clever.
I think I was like trying to think of a fake name for when I did get busted by the cops, but obviously it didn't come in very handy this time. So
then they call your parents.
And my parents had to come and pick me up, and so I woke up the next day and not knowing how the hell I got home. And so I was going to call the guy, but I said, no, it's not a good idea. It was 6 o'clock in the morning. So I went downstairs, and my mother was down in about 10 seconds. And she was giving, she didn't yell, but it was the, I'm very disappointed in you, what happened spiel.
Yeah.
And then when she was done, my father came down, and he was the one that was yelling and dropping, the F-bombs and all that fun stuff.
And you're hungover, too. Then, like,
they had to mention, I met your father in AA. We both have this problem. We've lived this life. We are heading in a direction that you don't want to head in, right?
Yeah, exactly. And looking back at it, I felt bad because my brother is 14 years older than me. Same father, different mother, but my mother was very important in him getting sober. And once my brother got sober, I started. So,
it just never ended.
You were chapter two, yes.
Oh, my God. It's like having a baby get out of diapers and you have another baby. It's like, I just got out of diapers.
Or
and here we go again.
Or an 80-year-old. One of the two. Yeah.
Josh Logan is on. All right. So now, that was 15. You had your first blackout. And then you go to the University of Tampa.
Yeah, I went down to the University of Tampa. My mother actually found the school because it was a smaller school with smaller classes. But I don't think she realized that it was either my junior or senior year of high school that it was actually in Playboy's top 10 party schools.
Oops.
So,
Mom missed that episode, apparently, if that's an issue.
Right.
Yeah. Damn it. So, and it lived up to its reputation. They have a thing called Gasparilla down there, which is like basically their Mardi Gras and all these things. But my third and fourth year living down there, me and two of my friends got this 2,300 square foot townhouse with a 2-car garage that didn't have a back to it that opened up to a 600 square foot deck.
Oh,
and our parties were just insane. And there was a section of Tampa called Ybor City that has all the bars and clubs. And we had a bunch of friends that bartended and bounced there. And so one night, me and my two roommates were out at this place called Bar Tampa, and the owner came up to us and said, I need to talk to you guys in my office. So I was like, crap, did we get in a fight and not remember it? Because he said, I know about your parties. I'll give you guys 8 free kegs, and whenever you have one, you just have to hang your banners up in your house.
Wow, that's when you know.
Deal. You're being endorsed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. It's like a NASCAR, like they're putting the, you have sponsorships.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we still charge $5 a head to get in, right? So wow. it was a pretty good money-making scheme
pretty
for
sweet.
Us, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you know, it took me 5 years to graduate from there, and it's not because I'm stupid. So, but I actually quit drinking for a whole year before I even turned 21. And a week before I turned 21, I always knew I was going to drink again. I went down to the gas station because I, you know, bought a 12-pack, and my roommate said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I got a pregame for my 21st.
Of course.
So we drank a 12-pack, and then he got one. Then we had a couple girls come over hanging out. Jeez. We went to a club that our friend was opening up that night, and again, I blacked out. And the next day, I was going through my pants, and in one pocket I had a girl's phone number, and in the other pocket I had a bag of weed and rolling papers that I didn't have before.
Huh.
And my roommate just laughed, and he said, "Well, Logan's back." And
yeah.
Then I went on a straight run for about 15 years or so after that. So,
and during this run, did you get married, have kids, all this stuff?
I did get married. We didn't have kids. My ex had a miscarriage about 3-4 months into the pregnancy.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Sorry.
Thank you. But that actually, looking back at it, I was actually slowing down my drinking once I found out she was pregnant. But once she had the miscarriage, you know, that really, was actually probably what put me over the edge.
Yeah.
And everything like that. But yeah, I did get married, but I moved to a section of a Boston Southie. And,
yeah, no one drinks in Boston.
No. Yeah, perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was a walking stereotype. I'm 100% Irish guy, you know, alcoholic in Boston. So I was just playing my part, I guess.
Man, you had a long run with drinking. What was your rock bottom? When did you know that this has to stop?
Well, I knew I had a problem for a long time, but I actually got separated, and it was actually 5 years ago on Monday, I was told for the second time by a doctor that if I didn't stop what I was doing, I'd be dead in a year.
Oh, same
and
doctor?
Two different doctors.
Okay, that's when, you know, all right, well, they don't know each other, and they right. said the same thing, so.
And can you just, like, drink
exactly.
a little more? I lived, like, for, like, 9 months. Yeah.
And my exact response to that doctor was, "Good, let's get this over with."
Wow.
And so I manipulated my way onto a workman, like a disability leave, but my background is sales, so my boss still needed my deals to close for him to hit his number, so I was on disability leave, plus I was getting commission checks. I ran up credit card, I had perfect credit, I went through a $10,000 credit card in 19 days.
Dang.
And,
sensei.
So I would actually be at the bars in Southie at 8 o'clock, and if it was at 8:01, and the door was locked, I was calling them, and I was a beer and whiskey guy.
Oh, that's tough, man.
I had to, the first couple shots I took, I had to lean over and slurp the whiskey out of the shot glass because I shook so much, I couldn't even write my own name.
Wow.
And
that's
I was
tough.
Getting drunk 3 times a day, every day for 6 months, and then I ended up on St. Patty's Day in 2016. You know, a guy like me, St. Patty's Day was like my Christmas.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, I was in my apartment with my gun in my mouth.
Oh.
And so that was basically, that right there was my rock bottom. And then
Josh,
go ahead.
You're at rock bottom and then you have the gun in your mouth. What stopped you?
Well, at the time, you know, because unfortunately I've had friends before that and after that, take their own life, and I just saw what it did to their family.
Right.
And I just saw, you know, I saw what it did to me as a friend.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do that to my parents, my brother, my ex-wife, you know, but looking back at it, you know, I didn't want to die. I just wanted the pain to go away.
Right.
Because, you know, I mean, I had a lot of fun drinking, but I also did some really bad things to some really good people. So I had some, you know, demons with me. And it was
you had some heavy guilt.
You know,
yeah.
Some heavy
guilt.
Well, man.
Well, I'm glad you're still here.
Right. And then now what are you doing? And this is, AJ, this is the best part of the story.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? I called my brother, because my brother now has about 25 years sober, and he came and picked me up and brought me home to my parents' house, and it's basically a sober house with, you know, free rent and good food. And my mother found the New England Recovery Center, the detox that I went to, and when I went there, it was my first and only time in treatment, and, you know, I was scared out of my mind. You know, because one, I didn't have alcohol as that crutch anymore, and I didn't know what I was getting myself into and who I was going to be with. And I'm like, is there like prison where I'm going to have to fight people? And but I walk in, and the admissions people were just absolutely incredible, because I think they could probably tell that I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, they were nothing but nice to me. And then
I'm guessing a lot of them have been through it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And even the ones that don't, you know, they still, you know, they get that. Approach, right? You know,
yeah.
And then the nursing, the other thing that really stuck out was with nursing, they didn't have this, you know, one size fits all, right? So they actually took into account, you know, what I was drinking, how long I was drinking. So, you know, so they treated me differently than they treated, you know, medically, that is, you know. But, you know, I, growing up, my parents didn't go to meetings, so I wasn't around recovery a lot. So I was just thinking, you know, to have this stigma that I'm an alcoholic, but they actually treated me like a person.
Nice.
Right? And a person that needed help.
Respect.
And exactly, exactly. And
I gotta wrap up here to hit this commercial break, and we can talk to you about this later in a podcast or something. But so the happy ending is you're now an admissions liaison there, right?
I am, yeah. I started there a few months ago. I actually was at a different place in recovery, and I saw that the opening opened up there, and I was just, you know, this place, you know, the New England Recovery Center, it saved my life. And I saw the position open there, and I just applied for it, and it was just, you know, that place means so much to me.
Who better?
And
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, you. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and when I talk to people, it's, you know, especially someone that's brand new, that's never been in, you know, treatment before, it's their first time, and they talk to me, and I can, you know, I'm quote unquote one of you, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've
yeah.
been there. I know exactly how you feel.
Right.
Right. Like, you just tell them that they're doing the right thing.
Josh, right?
This place
thanks.
Saved my life.
Man, what a tremendous story. We're going to podcast this. And Josh, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing that, man. Not easy to share all those details.
No, thanks for having me. And if anybody out there is struggling, just pick up the phone and ask for help. Saved life.
We will link up at WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. Josh Logan, thank you.
Jazz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, I'm Phil from 99.